Welcome back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 today. And once again, it's about ministry. And once again, the fight of your life. How do you measure someone in ministry? If someone asks, who's the better pastor? Or who's the best church leader? How do you compare? Part of you feels like you're not supposed to answer that question. But another part of you knows the answer. Bigger church, bigger ministry, better teaching style, funnier jokes. It's easy to judge, but is it right? And how should you respond when you're the one in ministry and other people are judging you? That's the situation Paul faces in chapter 10. One thing I should note before we dive in, there is a theory with some credibility that chapter 10 through the end was actually an entirely different letter from Paul, maybe one sent prior to chapters 1 through 9. Is it right? I don't know, but it's an interesting theory. In any case, verse 1. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when away. Paul here is quoting something that he had heard was said about him. Some folks in Corinth were talking smack about Paul. Some who didn't like being corrected claim that Paul was all talk. He's bold in writing, but all humble and timid in person. All bark and no bite. Notice that their judgment of Paul is based purely on style, not content or calling. So Paul has to set them straight. He reminds them that Jesus' style was meek and gentle. Meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. Jesus had power, but he didn't flaunt it. He had authority, but he didn't abuse it. Paul wants to do the same. But in verse 2, he lets them know that he will be bold in person, if necessary, against those who are judging him by the standards of this world. In other words, those other guys were judging on worldly stuff, eloquence and delivery. Paul's not about that. Verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Basically, Paul says, we live in this body, yes, but when we go to war, it is not by the flesh. None of this is about physical warfare. This battle is spiritual. The war he is talking about is the ministry we are called to. Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of the faith. And in this fight called ministry, we don't use weapons of flesh. Your strength, your ability, your smarts and your strategy, step into battle with those weapons, and your enemy will slam you to the mat in a heartbeat. You'd be better off taking a Nerf gun into gang war. So what weapons do we use? Back in verse 4, our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. Divine power, that means God is the muscle behind your fists of fury. Demolish strongholds, that means our weapons have a purpose. We break down walls that hold people captive. We set them free. And we do not go to battle against flesh and blood. People are not the enemy. They are the captives, and we are the captives. But what are we captive to? Verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So the strongholds are arguments and pretenses. It's your thoughts that are at stake. The theater of this war is the mind. And the weapons aimed at our noggins are arguments and opinions raised against the knowledge of God. Pretensions, as in lies pretending to be truth. Deceptions, distractions, accusations, all designed to move us away from knowing God. These mind bombs are designed to captivate, as in take your mind captive. Ultimately, Satan wants you to believe that God either doesn't exist, doesn't love you, or just doesn't pay attention. He's also happy if you're just too distracted to even think about it. So what do? Paul says we demolish them. As in, Hulk smash. Read Ephesians 6 and choose your weapon. Fight lies with truth. Fight self-condemnation with God's salvation. Fight guilt trips with the righteousness Jesus gave you. Verse 5 says, "We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." That means own your own thoughts. Make Jesus the king of your mind and make your thoughts obey him. Every thought that doesn't play by his rules of love, grace, forgiveness, and peace, kick it out and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If your mind is a battlefield of worry and condemnation, memorize these verses and take every thought captive. Then in the next section, Paul talks a lot about boasting. This is a tricky defense for Paul. Verse 10 says that his accusers are aiming at his skills, saying he's not a great speaker and not much to look at. They bragged on their own skills and tried to pull Paul into a boasting battle. Have you ever seen one of those on the ball field? 1,000 ways to say, "I'm awesome and you're lame"? It's pointless. So how should Paul defend himself? Should he boast back about all his skills? No way. In verse 7, Paul reminds them that they both belong to Jesus. As it says in Romans, don't judge another man's servant. Then Paul explains what he will boast about in verse 8. So even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it. When Paul is challenged, he doesn't respond with what he can do, but only with the authority that God gave him. That is all that matters. And his authority is only good for building up. Let that be a lesson. If God gives you authority for ministry, it is a building permit, not a demolition notice. You can destroy lies, but build people. Then verse 11. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. In other words, Paul says they're consistent. We are who we are, in letter or in person. That means genuine all the time. Verse 12, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. This is the real heart of it. Paul refuses to measure his abilities or compare himself with other preachers. It's a fool's game, and it's just flesh. Then Paul explains exactly what he will boast about. Verse 13, we, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. In order to defend his ministry, Paul will boast in one thing, that God assigned him a job. This is not self-boasting. He is not taking credit for it. He is always quick to point out there is nothing we have that God didn't give us. Paul is simply defending his authority in Corinth. God gave us authority there, and that is why we reached you with the gospel. This is an absolute essential key for ministry. Know the authority that God gave you. Satan will challenge it, try to get into your mind, and convince you you're not good enough, comparing you to others and talking trash about your lack of speaking skills or personality power. But your Great Commission is not based on your skill. The Great Commission starts with Jesus' authority. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go." So take those thoughts of self-doubt and self-condemnation captive and make them obey Jesus. Because Jesus commanded, "Go preach the good news and go make disciples." So stop doubting yourself and go. Verse 17 nails it. But let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Read 2 Corinthians 10, and arm yourself for the fight. Take every thought captive and submit them to the rule and the love of Jesus Christ.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.